Oh, great. This is up here. Yes, you've made my physical therapist so proud. And it's like, quit jerking that neck around. They're already now, the VA, my next step is, you wouldn't know it. I mean, I get around from about here down. I get around good. I can just trot and do. But the rest of it, so they're going to do a little pain management. They're going to put a, try to get in there in those vertebrae in the neck and put a needle in there. And so everybody, you know, I know if you want to, I can try to see to it that you can get some too, because we can share in all that together. But the I've hit the ground so many times that it's put this kind of shoved those discs in there together, and it's swelling inside the little tube that carries the nerves and pushing against them. And so that's what my difficulty is. And that's part of the price. That's part of the price of my service. I slammed in the ground. You just slammed too many times, and now you've got real injuries. I knew it before getting out of service. The neurologist had to work on me when I was on active duty because of some just serious pain. I was watching some old airborne drops here a few days ago, and these guys were hitting, and one of them hit and turned a complete somersault and hit on his neck on the ground. And I thought, that hurt. You'll be going to pain management when you get older. So anyway, we have to deal with things, and I don't know what it is. It just seems like there's a phase in your life, and you get there, and all of a sudden you start finding things that you didn't know you had. Has anybody discovered that? Pardon? You're out of warranty. You start to get up out of a chair, and all of a sudden you pop back down, and you wonder, what was that all about? Or you make a quick turn, and part of your body just didn't want to go with the turn, and you start falling over, and you're grabbing stuff, and you're saying, what in the world? So anyway, just know the title of this message, and when we come down to it, all these weird things and all that is happening out here, just keep in mind the title of this message: God is the only one who knows. He's the only one who knows. He's the only one who knows, really knows the truth. And let me read this to you. This is a difficult passage to try to bring a message from, but I'm trying to condense it and do something with it, because that's where God brought me to. So it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16. Expanded this from my original, because, well, let me just read it, but pay attention, because most of you won't hear many messages out of this passage, because it's tough to kind of squeeze the juice out of it. And so, but there's juice in it, but you have to squeeze pretty hard. And what comes out, though, is pretty tasty. So let's take a look at it. It says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Good so far. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? And that's where it starts going. Everybody's kind of going, say what? For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. For what man, listen to this now, what man, reading it again, what man knows the things of a man? So it's saying, what person can know the things of another person except the spirit of the person that's in him? And so, and what he's saying is, you can't know what's really going on inside another person. You can't know what's really in their head or their heart. Yes, by their fruits you'll know them. But you don't know all the thoughts behind everything, or if they even were thinking. And we think we do. We deceive ourselves. We get so conceited sometimes, thinking we know people, and we don't even know ourselves. But he's just saying, you can't know anybody unless you have the Holy Spirit in you. And your spirit, the spirit of the person, is the one that's going to tell you. And it's just like, okay. So he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So here he goes again. He's saying, we've been given the spirit. And the only way you're going to know what God has for you is through the spirit, because you can't physically see it or hear it. And we'll get into that in a moment, because this is vital to us. And this message here really is, it's not intended that way, but it just comes against religion versus Christianity. Christianity is a spiritual experience, so that's what it's intended to be. Religion is an outer conformity, and religion deals with conformity to the rules and dressing the right way, speaking the right way, and it's conforming to a law, to a rule. And you know, the Pharisees were great religionists, weren't they? If you want to know, I mean, externally, someone who kept the law, boy, they were on fire. They missed the spirit of it, but boy, outwardly, they looked good. And there's a lot of folks, a lot of churches today, outwardly, oh my, they just impress the dickens out of you. You get to know them and you're thinking, I'd rather know Hitler than this person. Really, at least he was who he was, and this person fakes it all the time. I never know what they're going to do next. So he said, these things we also speak. There's more to this, so I'll quit breaking it up. Let me read it. He said, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, or the natural person, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Are you hearing this? He said, the natural person does not receive the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him. That's why you get shut down and told off and slapped down and made fun of, is because many people, if they don't have the Holy Spirit and they're religious, they're not going to be able to hear what God's saying through you. They don't understand who you are. And when people don't understand something, you keep this in mind. When people don't understand something, they attempt to destroy it. They see a new bug, a new critter, a new animal, a new bird. I don't know why it is. You know, some people are fascinated. But it's amazing how many things we say, oh, I've never seen that before. We step on it. We're just that way. And people that we don't understand, we become afraid of. And we attempt to hurt them. And so when the natural man, the natural person, they don't have the Holy Spirit because they're not of Christ, they don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to them. And it says, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. He said, only spiritual people can discern spiritually. And that's why often, listen to me, that's why often in Christian circles you may be like in the church or in a Bible study or whatever, and there seems to be people there, and it's like they just keep arguing these natural points, these earthly points. They don't get it, even though they talk a good talk. Why? Because they really don't have the Spirit. And they can't discern God's truth. So they take it to a earthly, natural argument. Anybody ever been involved in that? And someone will just keep steering the conversation or the study back to something more earthly because they're not getting it. It takes the Holy Spirit's power to do it. But he says, he who is spiritual judges all things. Get that? If you're spiritual, you can judge all things. You can make right decisions. And yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is, you understand now when I read this, why many pastors don't want to mess with this, and I don't either very often. This is not one you can look back and say, oh yeah, he's done this with a bunch of, no. Because it's, for one thing, the person God's using to write this is Paul. And Paul wasn't, as Saul, he was a trained Pharisee. And in case you might not know or have forgotten, Saul of Tarsus was the golden boy designed to be one day high priest of Israel. So it was planned. He was going all the way. He was the West Point graduate of the Pharisees. And his destiny was to go to the top. And if you've never heard of it, there's the West Point Club in the military, in the Army. And they'll send the West Pointers out for just a little bit of action and pull them back and put them on staff because they don't want to hurt them. And that's why they're so stupid when they become senior commanders. They don't have enough field experience. There, I got that in. You guys can lump it if you don't like it out there. It's the truth. I've had to work with them. And they'll throw all of us other, you know, officers in there that didn't get to go to West Point, and we become the cannon fodder, and they protect their little West Point club. If you don't believe it, right, you read about it. It's the truth. Well, the Pharisees did the same thing. And they just... Anyway, okay, let me get back on text. This is a very difficult thing, and I'm going to try to break it down for you so you can grab what this is really about. Because we don't want to be part of the club, the religious club. We want to be part of the free spirit, knowing in Christ what there is to know, and not just looking good, but really being good. So number one, let me give you this. Only God is all-knowing. He starts us off up here, and we'll go back to that. As it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Here's what he's saying. It sounds a little ridiculous, redundant at first, and then all of a sudden it goes deep. And I was back into the Paul thing, and he was Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He was destined to be the head guy. And then he's knocked off his horse, accepts Christ. But he's an intellectual, and he writes things so often, and even Peter, he said, sometimes Paul is hard to understand. Well, yeah, because, you know, when you have an intellectual like that, it's pretty hard to follow him. So we pull back into this, but here's what God is saying through him. He's saying, we keep trying, and as Christians, to see it with our eyes. And a lot of people say, I'll believe it when I see it. You'll never believe it. Because you won't see enough to make you believe. Or when I hear that with my own ears, and you have to ask yourself, what ears? Because he's telling you, no eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. And he's not talking about the spiritual heart. He's talking about the natural heart. He said, nothing's entered into your heart. Your eyes not seen, and your physical eye, your physical ear, your physical heart, your feelings... Nothing's entered in there, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So if you're trying to understand God and know the good things God has for you without letting the Holy Spirit be in charge of your life, you're missing it, and you'll continue to miss it. And listen, you cannot know God unless the Spirit of the living God reveals him to you. That's just it. So what we see and hear is most often, listen, what we see and hear with our physical eyes, our physical ears, it's most often distorted by our own experiences, whether they were good or bad. You think about it. What we've been through, that becomes our filter for life. And with the Holy Spirit, when we ask Jesus in our heart, Jesus wants to cleanse that filter. And give us a discerning spirit and give us wisdom. If you don't let him clean that filter and you keep judging people and life and God through your past experience, you'll never see the real truth. And that's how we judge people. That's why over in Matthew 7 it starts off, you know, don't judge that you be not judged. Why? Because we judge through our messed up filters. Oh, I know what they're doing. And how do we know what they're doing? I know what's going to happen with that relationship. Why? What happened to yours? And you're judging through a filter or somebody close to you. And you've got that little filter all tainted. You're putting on a pair of sunglasses. And it's not letting you see the colors like they really are. And you're judging from that perspective. That's why when we judge people, God said, don't judge. Because you can't judge unless you're really in the Holy Spirit. You can't make a right judgment. So we judge things, circumstances, what God's doing or not doing, by our past experience or what we've seen others go through. And if you've been in several churches, now you've got all that added to your little filter. And so you're looking through it, and you're trying, and good Lord, some of us have been in some really messed up churches. And they, it distorts your little filter. And you're looking at life through all that. You'll never be able to see what's going on. And so, listen, our filter, that of experience, it distorts our comprehension and understanding of what really is. Because two people are standing and talking and looking at you, your little filter and your past experiences, they're standing and talking, and you're saying they're talking about me. And they don't even know you exist at the moment. They're deeply involved in some discussion in their family. Somebody's sick. Somebody's hurt. It's just natural when we're talking to look at someone. You ever thought about that? We all do it. You stand there talking to someone, and we're distracted. And we're saying, yeah, I know one went about that. And we're just looking over another person. And they're going to sit there thinking through their little filter. Oh, my gosh, look at them. They're running me down with each other. Now, how do you know that? What makes you think that? And, for me, I've been through enough. I kind of like it. Well, everywhere I go, I get attention, right? Pretty much. Somebody's singling me out. They know Tony. And so, there's Pastor Tony. And it's like, oh, joy. I wanted to sneak in here and get this candy bar, a Snickers bar, and ruin my whole diet at Dollar General. And six people are standing there. Pastor Tony, what's that? And it's like, that's for my cousin. Poor Eddie. Everything gets blamed on Eddie. Eddie's coming. It's for him. He eats these sorry things. I wouldn't eat that. Why? And I mentioned I kind of like it. Why don't you change your perspective and let your God cleanse your filter and how you view life? Have you ever thought that if you can find two people over there and you think they're talking about you, they're discussing your fine qualities? They're standing there saying, God, I wish I was like her. Him. Can't you kind of take that and just kind of, yeah. Look at them over there. They're so envious of me. Why do you have to take it to, why do you have to go south with it? Just take it down. You ever thought that maybe people are looking at, if they are talking about you, maybe it's good? Maybe they're saying, that's a smart person over there. I don't know why this came in my mind. Poor Pat, I looked right at him. They might be saying, he has such a controlled temper. Such a modest man. I'm sorry, that's not funny. And it is funny, but I shouldn't do that. You see, we tend to judge what others are thinking or doing by the way we think and do. It's a hard thing to have to kind of whisper to someone that, they're saying to you, I think that couple over there, they're doing something. They're doing the naughty. It's kind of tough, but sometimes we need to ask, why is that what you would do? Because you don't have any idea they are. But is you're saying that, why, based on what you would do? And be honest with yourself. And be honest with yourself whether somebody confronts you or not. The Holy Spirit will confront you and say, why am I thinking dirty about that person? Is it because there's some dirty in my own life? Maybe there's, I find some, I know this is touchy. I gotta be so careful here. I found the people that judge others the most harshly are the ones, if they haven't done it, they're jealous that they can't do it, and those people are. They're getting to sin in a way I've always wanted to and can't. I'm serious. Because I have to sit and hear this backroom stuff. And when the backroom door finally opens and it comes out, and I confront people, some people deny it and they would never admit it, but a lot of them will. And I say, are you jealous, really? Are you envious? Is that why you're coming down on them so much? And oh, they're doing naughty things, and they're doing up to, and they're doing the dirty and all that. Why do you want to go there? Because you can't. And if somebody ever gets on, get honest with themselves. It's like, yeah, once in a while, I just would like to say, could I have tomorrow to go sin like they are? And he won't let you. But so much misery we deal ourselves and others in life, because we're judging through the wrong filters, and we're seeing life distorted, or our own envy that others get to sin and we don't. Listen, be honest. Have you ever been a little envious of somebody else's sin? You ever hear these Hollywood stories and think, just once. If you're human, you have. And that's a hard thing in the church and Christianity to admit. But we're human, aren't we? You ever wanted to have the money they have? To be able to say and do the things they do and nobody can touch you? You ever seems like anything you do, just get out of line that far, and God's just, his little chastisement package is right on top of you, and yet these others can go out there and do whatever they want, and it seems like nothing ever happens to them. You don't get upset about that? I do. Because I know in my own life, God's kind of, and I call it, God's a little tough on Tony. It's like, you're going to move about that far, and I'm going to be right there. And I'm looking at others saying, do you see them? Listen to this. Not only do we tend to judge others, what they're thinking or doing by the way we think and do, or what we would think or do in that situation, we tend to judge what God is doing in others the same way. Have we ever said to ourselves, I know why they're having that trouble, because I saw them, I've watched their life, and they drink too much and they do this too much, and I knew it, God's going to get them sooner or later. And that's in the book of Go Get Them God. Now, we've said this stuff, right? And we've made judgments on what we like. And it says right here, who's going to teach God? Who's known the mind of the Lord that may instruct him? And I've done it myself. I know exactly why God's getting that person. I know why that happened to them. Oh, you do? You do? So when did God let you be a little under God? We don't know. And friends, this message is intended to point out a piece of scripture that says, why don't you relax a little bit and back off of yourself and other people and back off of God and quit telling God that you know his mind. And just let God be the one that knows and put in your heart what he wants you to know, and that's it. The truth is, we really don't know what God is doing with other people. You know, they may be doing something that we think, you know, our training, our background is, that just can't be of the Lord. Really? I mean, is it sinful? Well, no, but what? He calls people to do all kinds of different things. And just because that seems beneath you doesn't mean it's beneath them. And God will ask us to do strange things in life and show up at strange places. Maybe he really puts in somebody's heart, I want you to walk down here and in that bar or whatever it is, and there's two or three people in there, and I want them witness to, and that's the only place you're going to find them. But one of us sees that and we're saying, what are they doing down there drinking like that? They act so goody-two-shoes, and then here... They act like they're so holy. They probably still are, maybe more than us. They're doing what God told them to do. It's just that that's not what God would let us do. Why? Because we might have too much of a propensity, too much addiction problem, and we can't go in there because we'd start drinking. So God won't let us do what he's letting them do, and then God won't let them do some things he lets us do. And we're going to have to learn to relax here and let God be God and God's people be God's people. And that's what this passage in Corinthians was about. He's saying, come on, back up. Only God really knows. We often don't know what God is doing with ourselves, much less what he's doing with others. Do you always know what he's doing with you? Stuff happens and you're saying, I don't know what's going on here. God, why'd you let this happen? Then if you question God on that, how can you question him about somebody else? This is not meant to be a mean message or anything. I guess it sounds rather strong. It's just to say, you know, you can have a lot more fun in life if you get off your own back and get off everybody else's and get off of God's back. Why don't you just let him be God? Let me tell you one of the areas I'm struggling with right now. You ready? Ready? Sure you are. You want to hear this, right? Where's Tony struggle? Why in the world are you letting those people put the whole government at a stop, filibuster, over illegal aliens? Or is that really the problem? It's more. That's a surface problem to distract you. But we'll meet and talk government 101 after the service. But right now, we'll stay on track. Just remember, I mean, you're going to have a budget shutdown because you can't win an office unless they vote, can you? Probably not in a lot of places. That's just too bad. Anyway, here's the thing. I sit there and say, God, why are you letting these people do this to us? And I start judging God from my own experience, my own thoughts, and I'm questioning God, why are you doing this? Don't you see? And then suddenly God begins to bring the conviction and says, you're going to bring this message. Why? Because you're going to have to study for it, and you're going to be the one I'm going to hit the hardest. Now you quit questioning me on what's going on, and you petition me. You petition me. You bring these people and whatever it is on your mind before God and ask me to deal with them. But quit questioning me on why it's happening. Are you with me? I'm out of line when I do that. He's had to correct me a whole bunch here lately because I'm really upset about a lot of stuff like that. It's affecting our lives and it hurts. And I want to see God's justice so bad. Don't you? I want to see God's justice. It's just I don't have the right to tell him to exercise it. And I told him the other night sitting there, and I'm admitting all this stuff freely to you. I just have to work through it sometimes. And I said, now's the time. Bring your justice. Yeah, I figure he's going to let your hair just suddenly grow out white. You're going to give you a staff. You're going to stand like Moses. Now's the time. Part the Red Sea. He doesn't do that. Instead, your pencil breaks. No one knows the thoughts of God on their own. But I'll tell you this, a whole lot of people sure act like they know. And when somebody comes judging you, you keep that in mind. There's a lot of people who act like they know what God wants for you, and they don't. And you don't have to take that stuff. And you don't have to live under somebody else's rule because they're telling you, oh, I know what God wants you to know. No. Okay. Where are we? Oh, good. We're good. In the Spirit, you will know. In the Spirit. Yes, in the Spirit. God gives you the Holy Spirit, and God's Spirit knows the thoughts of God. Ah, wait a minute, really? Yes, as a true born-again Christian, God's Spirit will give you understanding of what God has freely given you. You. You won't know all of God's thoughts in the Holy Spirit, but you will know what God wants you to know. Everybody with me? Is this just missing the mark, or are we okay here today? Are we just thinking? Okay. Only God's Spirit knows the thoughts of God. And as a believer, He'll give you understanding. But remember, the Holy Spirit will give you understanding of what God's up to for your life and where it pertains to the church. But He won't give you understanding of what He's up to in everybody else's life. Why? Because He's God and you're not. You couldn't handle it anyway. And I'll give you a caution. If there's anything in your life right now that's grieving the Holy Spirit, then you need to pray this prayer: Lord, search my heart and know me, and reveal to me any unclean thing, just like the psalmist prayed. And God, I'll confess it and repent of it. This is why he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit over in Ephesians, and you read through the epistles, and he talks about don't let the sun go down in your anger. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption. Because if you grieve the Holy Spirit, you can no longer hear God's thoughts. You can no longer see with spiritual eyes what God is doing. Then you know what you're going to become? Here's what happens. Christians that don't repent and don't let God search them, their attitude, their prejudices, their bigotry, we think it's the big things. You know, and what about those are big things to God? It can be something just getting up in the middle of the night and eating a piece of cake, and God is saying, I want you to live longer, stop. And you're grieving the Holy Spirit because he's asked you, because your body is his temple, to stop that. Maybe for somebody else it's so hard to say, Dr. Peppers. That really hurt to say that. I want you to know. He hasn't told me to lay off of all Dr. Peppers, but I will tell you this, I had to cut back. You know why? The sugar was not doing me any favors. I don't have a blood sugar problem, but yet, you know what sugar does to me? And it's more and more now. If I drink a couple of Dr. Peppers, and I'm not knocking Dr. Pepper. Don't anybody hear that out there? It can be a Coke, anything that's sweet, real sugar, and it takes me up. But all of a sudden, I plummet, and I start getting real down and depressed, and I feel lousy. Does anybody else have that problem with it? Yeah. And I just crave them sometimes. I just want one. I like a Dr. Pepper and that Snicker bar. I want one now, just talking about it. And it's the Lord that put on my heart. You can't have them like you used to. Do I have one every once in a while? Yeah, but I can't. I have to be careful. Now, I'm talking about things like that. For all of us, that God's saying for you. Hello? He's saying for you. This can't be. And you're saying, but this guy over here, he can drink it. That's my business, says the Lord. My business over here is what you can do and can't do. So if there's anything in your life that grieves the Holy Spirit, and get it right. Because if you don't, listen to this warning. If you don't, you're going to become religious very quickly. And before you know it, you're going to be the most legalistic person around. Because when the Holy Spirit's grieved in a Christian, they're going to become legalistic. And they're going to start trying to force other people to obey the rules they think they ought to obey because they're not in the Spirit anymore. And they become a very unfun person to deal with. Now let me close with these thoughts. This is a teaching, not a preaching. This is meant to teach us something to keep us out of trouble, to keep our heads right, to keep our hearts right. It's meant to say, don't judge by what you see or by what you hear. But get into the Holy Spirit and let Him show you and give you spiritual ears to hear and spiritual eyes to see with discernment and wisdom what God is doing and saying. So this third point is the closing point, and it's titled, I just put it, what you know, what you know, you will understand. Because God won't let you know something without giving you understanding of what it means and how it applies in the Holy Spirit. So with God's Spirit in control of your life, one of the first things you're going to learn to do is treat God and His Spirit with respect. It's a sad testimony, but so many of God's people do not treat God and His Holy Spirit with respect. I mentioned earlier, beginning the service, and I say it again, friends, do not fall into the category, into that trap of taking God and His people for granted. What are their needs? What concerns do they have? Are they acting a little different? Do they seem on edge? Don't take them for granted. Don't take God for granted. If you notice it, God's trying to give you understanding. Say, talk to them. Let them know somebody cares. Let them know they're not alone. So with God's Spirit in control of your life, you're going to learn real quickly, God will convict you about it. Don't treat God and His Spirit with disrespect. Treat us with utmost respect. Now, let me give you this list real quick. When the Holy Spirit is in control and God gives you knowledge and understanding, here's what's going to happen. You will understand God's will for you. You will know why He really put you here and what works He wants you to do. Secondly, you will understand God's will for your place in this church. Have you asked Him? Lord, what is my place in Full Life Fellowship? And those that are listening, have you asked Him, what is my place in the church I go to? What is my place when I go out in the community? When I go to HEB or Walmart, or maybe you're in a community where they have a little Lowe's or United, it doesn't make any difference. What is your ministry there? God will give you understanding for your place in the church, wherever that is, and what ministry you perform. There are servers in this church. They like making food, doing things, setting it up, feeding people. There's others, though, with the gift of prophecy, gift of teaching. And I want to quench that. Gift of mercy. There's some mercies in here. And there's a whole ton of other stuff. And God's gifted you for that. And that's your ministry in the church. God will give you understanding. When you tap into His Holy Spirit and begin to see with spiritual ears, spiritual eyes, and hear with spiritual ears, you're going to live the way God wants you to live, not the way somebody else told you to live. You'll begin to understand God's people with mercy and compassion in your heart. If there's anything I'd say to any church, if God would let me bring this word to every church in this whole area, I would want to emphasize this one. Let God give you understanding of His people. Of Himself, but of His people. An understanding that has mercy and compassion. If there's anything a married couple needs to pray for, it's God, give us understanding of one another. And give us that understanding with mercy and compassion in our hearts. If you want to pray something that will benefit your relationship with another person, God, give me an understanding heart towards this person. And give me the mercy and compassion I need to make that understanding effective so that I don't hurt them, but I can help be used of You to help them. And with all of us, we're family members in here. This is a church family. God, give us understanding so that we can understand each other and do it with mercy and compassion. you have the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, controlling you. And you're seeing with His eyes, His heart, spiritual eyes, and you're hearing with spiritual ears. You'll have God's peace in your heart. It'll come out in your life and it'll affect other people. You'll be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. You'll become a responsible and accountable Christian. You know what that means? You take responsibility for your own actions. You don't blame anybody else, even if they could be blamed. And most of all, you'll learn a little more about Jeremiah 33:3. When you have the Holy Spirit in you and He has you, and you're hearing with spiritual ears and seeing with spiritual eyes, here's what you're going to have. And you'll hear it all the time. God saying this, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. That's what will happen. You'll be a different person from now on. Father, we thank you for your word, the will that's taking place here. We thank you for the transformation that you're performing. The salvation and the healing and the goodness and the grace. God, forgive us for being so dead-gum hard-hearted. Sometimes we just want to see with our physical eyes. Either I see it or I don't. I believe it when I see it. Now I know I heard it. God, change us into seeing and hearing people of the Spirit of the living God. So that through us, God's Word can penetrate, dividing, you know, to the marrow of the bone. Lord, turn us into a spirit-filled, motivated, turned on fire people of the living God, understanding the Lord's will and helping others to get it. God, thank you. And God, would you make us a merciful, gracious, compassionate people, with love and forgiveness in our hearts and bringing peace to all, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you for being here.